Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, my name is Marta Forcella, and today I'm going to talk about some interesting things that can occur in our brain when we perceive this colorful, busy, and complicated world in which we live. So, when I was a child, my mom used to bring me to a summer event that was really organized by in my small town in Abruzzo, and every year I was so excited to take part into it because it used to be full of street performers. There were fire eaters, acrobats, jugglers, mimes, but also illusionists, storytellers, fortune tellers, puppeters, and so on. Almost 20 years later, I am working for the European Molecular Biology Laboratory in Rome on a project regarding audiovisual integration. So most of you is probably wondering how these two events are connected to each other. Well, I remember I used to be really impressed by some illusions these street performers were able to produce during their performances. And since I started my studies in neuroscience, and in particular in audiovisual integration, I realized that this childhood experience contained a couple of important and interesting lessons about human perception. The first one is that perception is multisensory, meaning that an accurate perception of the outside world requires the integration of multiple senses. Secondly, that sometimes this perception can be warped if external sensory stimuli don't match in time and space. And third, that we live in an error-filled world. And that's the reason why sometimes a real situation can be perceived as real. In the last edition of this summer event, there was a ventriloquist, and a ventriloquist looks like Edgar Bergen in this picture, who was actually one of the most famous ventriloquists worldwide. I could not know what a ventriloquist was at that age. I used to like puppet shows a lot, but this one was completely different. There was this tall man on stage sitting on a chair with a puppet on his knees, and I thought he was too old to play with dolls, but actually that puppet was not an inanimate doll at all. When the show started, it became a real child on that man's knees. I was 6 or 8, I don't remember well, but completely aware that words could not be released by that puppet mouth, but it was the man who gave his voice to the puppet. But I assure you that that man mouth did not move at all, or at least when the dummy's one did. And I assisted astonished to an entire conversation between these two guys with my eyes moving left and right at every change of voice. And I realized that I was experiencing what is called the illusion of ventriloquism. That is act that relies on one's capability of giving a puppet a distinct or separate voice from your own that appears to come only from the puppet. The cool thing is that in the past, ventriloquism was more a religious practice than an entertaining illusory trick. And in this painting, in this Paul Klee's painting, which is entitled Ventriloquist and Creer in the Moor, the conceptual role of a ventriloquist, of an ancient ventriloquist, is depicted. So you can see this transparent ventriloquist who does not even look like a human, except for a pair of legs and tiny arms and a sort of head without a mouth. And you also see these imaginary beasts floating inside his huge belly. Indeed, in the ancient Greek, ventriloquists were called engastrimith, where N stands for in, gaster for the stomach, mythos for words and speech. And actually, it was believed that engastrimith were able to speak from the stomach, where demons and spirits of the dead were present. So you can understand that these little creatures inside this ventriloquist's belly symbolize the odd voices and noises that were believed to emanate from him. It's not hard to believe that at that age, this divining tool achieved a resounding success, but it needed to move to a stage, the ventriloquist practice needed to move to a stage to get actually the scientists' attention. Because actually, ventriloquist practice contains a lot of concepts about the multisensory perception in our brain. So one of the questions that should arise from while assisting to a ventriloquist performance is, how is the ventriloquist illusion possible? And according to some puppetry guide, the key ingredients to creating the illusion of life in inanimate object are the magic of motion and the magic of time. Of course, movement is achieved by the use of a puppet moving on the stage. And about time, it's important that the ventriloquist starts moving the dummy at exactly the same time it starts giving it his voice. But why? Imagine to hear a crash and at exactly the same time you realize that a car accident has occurred. So you would automatically associate these two events as originating from the same cause. And there is no magic in this, but it's our brain that assumes that sounds and sights, which occur at the same time in the same place, in the same space, have the same origin, and therefore it combines these two sets of sensory stimuli. So, and this is a representation of what our brain correctly does when we assist to a car accident. So it pays the same amount of attention on the auditory stimulus and the visual stimulus, combining them to return a unified perception of the external situation. And this is what our brain does when we experience the ventriloquist illusion. So the brain places much more weight on vision compared to hearing, because it considers the visual information to be more accurate and reliable than the auditory one in reporting the location of a sound. And in order to understand better this concept, think how easier it is to locate the sound source in a crowded conference when you have just a good vision of the speaker who is talking, compared to hearing, compared to locating a speaker who is talking when you're just listening to his or her voice. So there's no physiological error in what the brain is doing, but it's trying to make its best guess of an ambiguous situation in which the visual stimulus is better than the auditory stimulus. But the problem is that the visual information the brain is paying attention to is actually wrong, because the puppet mouth is moving, but there's no sound coming out, and this completely trips your brain up. And so the hearing is overruled by vision, and it, as a result, it genuinely seems to us that the puppeteer's voice is coming straight out to the puppet mouth. So now let's look together at this video. And before playing the video, I want to tell you that in the first part of the video, the audio will be playing the word future, the word future, but the girl will be saying future. And in the second part, the audio will be playing back, but the girl will be saying something else. So you will tell me. No. Sorry. No, sorry. Why? Ooh. I'm so sorry.
No, don't worry.
Early it worked, but now no. I don't know why. Ooh. Probably. Okay. Now it should work.
Yes. 3, 2, 1. Future, 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 future. Future. 3, 2, 1. Buck, 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 buck.
So the audio is playing something different from what the girl is saying, and it's clear if I remove the audio and you just look at the girl's lip. So when you say that, ooh, so sorry. And you see that in this specific moment, she's saying future. And here, fuck. and basically, I'm so sorry. So in 1976, Harry McGuirk and John MacDonald published a paper in Nature whose title was Hearing Lips and Seeing Voices. And basically in this paper they explained what you should have experienced watching this video. So some of you probably should have got like what the girl was saying, so the word future and the word fuck, sorry, and some of you should have got something else, so like a third sound, so in the first part something like future, in the second part something like pack or buck.
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 So basically these are fictional sounds that our brain assumes to be real to compensate for the mismatch between hearing and seeing two different things at the same moment. And this phenomenon is called McGarkey effect. And once again, it does not depend on our brain malfunctioning, but on the fact that sometimes external sensory stimuli don't match. So the brain, it's trying again to make its best guess of an ambiguous situation. And again, it's paying much more attention on vision compared to hearing. So the ventriloquist illusion and the McGarkey effect are two clear examples of how vision can affect hearing. But are there some effects that hearing can produce on vision? So for example, when you in a situation in which the auditory system has a superior acuity compared to the visual system. And now I want you to look to another video. And this time, I mean, in the video, some flashes are gonna appear. And your job is to count the number of flashes you see. Let's do it in the correct way. Okay. So how many flashes did you see now? One, two, one. Now? Two. So, who saw one? Okay. This is correct.
Oh, okay.
But most of you should have seen just two flashes in this case. In fact, if I remove the audio, you will see just one flash in both conditions. So here and here. So this is called flash beep illusion. And it was first described by Shams and his colleagues. And basically what happens here is that when a single visual flash is accompanied by multiple auditory beeps, this single flash is incorrectly perceived as multiple flashes. And basically, this happens because in this case, our brain is paying much more attention on the auditory stimulus compared to the visual stimulus, because differently from the ventriloquist effect, now the visual stimulus is blurred and poorly localized. So the auditory one is better than the visual one. So this phenomenon is also called the temporal ventriloquism because it relies on the fact that the temporal resolution of the visual system is lower than the temporal resolution of the auditory system. So at that point, it should be clear the connection between my childhood experience story and my current position, my current job project at the MBL Rome, where we are trying to assess the potential role of a specific brain region in allowing for the experience of some of these audiovisual illusions. So this region is called the lateral geniculate nucleus. In this picture is indicated as lateral geniculate body, but I will refer to the lateral geniculate nucleus as LGN in the next part of the presentation. So, and you see that the LGN is located in between our eye and the visual cortex. But this part of the brain is also extremely interconnected with other brain regions. So this makes it a good candidate to assume audiovisual, to assume that audiovisual integration could happen. And before moving on, I want you to know that it was previously thought that the visual and the auditory information was processed separately, reaching just a level of integration in the higher association cortices. But it's now known that a level of integration is already present between these two areas that correspond to the auditory and visual areas, and there are a number of areas that are devoted to extract the complex features of the visual scene and the sound experience. So this lets us hypothesize that a cross-sensory interaction might be also extended to subcortical regions of these unisensory processing, like for example the LGN. But how can we study the LGN in the lab? So experiments in the lab are performed in mice, and this is and the mouse brain is different from our brain, as you can see. But the role of LGN is pretty conserved. LGN is made of neurons, of course, as the whole brain, and I intentionally depicted LGN neurons as green points, because in order to look at them, you need them to express a green fluorescent protein. The strategy to deliver this protein into this specific region of the brain is to inject this region with a virus containing our protein of interest. So this protein is called GCAMP, and its fluorescence is associated with the level of calcium inside the neuron. This means that when an increase in calcium is present inside the neuron, meaning that the neuron is responding to a specific stimulation, you will observe an increase in its luminance. So if I present a visual stimulus to this mouse while the mouse is under a high resolution microscope, I am able to record the activity of these neurons, and also assume that these neurons that you see sparkling in the video sometimes, like this one or here also, for example this, are neurons responding to our stimulation. So this means that you can also deliver an auditory stimulus and a combination of an auditory and visual stimulus to reproduce some of the illusion we experience in our everyday life. And we can make now together, we can speculate about the response we can obtain, for example, stimulating these cells. And you can see in the first graph an higher audiovisual response compared to a weak response when the visual and auditory stimulus are separately presented, or a strong visual response but a weak audiovisual response. And in this case, the visual response is suppressing the auditory response, as occurs in the ventriloquist effect. Or in this case, when you have a strong auditory response that suppresses the visual response, so the audiovisual response is weak because the visual one is suppressed, and this is consistent with the flash beep illusion, or a situation in which we have a strong visual response and a strong audiovisual response that just depends on the visual response but no auditory response. So in this case, there's no integration. And basically what I want to explain you is that these multisensory illusions I have been presenting you all over this talk are not just funny processes. I can test I can test your attention, but I mean they can be also used in the lab to put information in conflict in order to estimate the brain behavior and how the brain weights different information to reach a unified perception of the external world. And this means also that it makes me possible to test some hypotheses on auditory responses might be doing in the LGN, probably confirming that another way our brain can process all the features that characterize this complicated world. So thank you for your attention. If you have any question, yes. You have a question. Flora.
Have they ever been used, for example, in trials? You know, I mean...
What do you mean, if someone already did these types of studies?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll take it off just for 1 minute. I think it's really interesting because sometimes you get an illusion or a wrong sensation of what the reality is. So I was wondering, for example, if somebody has been killed or things like that and they are on trial
If they can experience
yes.
Disillusion, I mean...
No, I mean... as the eye is deceiving sometimes, or the sound is deceiving, I was thinking, are these studies only studies at the moment, or have they ever been used, to try and defend maybe somebody who was considered a killer or something like that in trials in the United States or everywhere?
I mean, I know that these types of studies have been performed in humans.
Yes.
But I don't know if specifically they were performed on killers So, yeah. That's it.
Because some lawyers could find them really interesting to save their clients, probably.
Yeah. Okay. So, thank you very much.
Grazie.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache della galassia, da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafiti, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.it, su Facebook alla pagina Fantascientificast, su Twitter sul profilo @fantascicast, sul nostro canale Telegram t.me/fantascientificast, sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificast.it. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito, su Apple iTunes, su Spotify e su Podbean all'indirizzo podcast.fantascientificast.it. Se volete, potete lasciarci una valutazione a 5 stelle su Apple iTunes ed offrirci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, sostenendoci tramite una donazione PayPal utilizzando l'apposito pulsante sul nostro sito. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. L'autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Alexa 4 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento alla prossima puntata lungo la rotta di Kessel.
Settimo simbolo inserito nel computer. Blocco 1 pronto. Blocco 1 posizionato.
Potenza erogata 23%. Così.
Blocco 2 è pronto.
Attivato.
Blocco 2 posizionato.
Siamo al 35%.
Arme rosse, evacuare l'area intorno allo Stargate.
Liberate l'area, torniamo da voi, chiudo le porta.
Andiamo, sbrigate.
C'era quello sotto la grande pietra?
Sì. Mio padre lo trovò nel 1928. È fatto di un minerale che non si trova sulla Terra.
Blocco 5 posizionato.
85%.
Blocco 6 pronto. Blocco 6 posizionato.
Non eravamo mai riusciti ad andare oltre nella sequenza.
Blocco 7 pronto.
Pronto, attivato.
Blocco 7 posizionato.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.